Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you'll be blessed by your time with us today.
I could hurry up and talk, good Lord. Right? Okay. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your grace and your peace, and just always being faithful, and give you the praise in Jesus' name. So I do need prayer this morning. My football team lost for a second week in a row. Although Texas lost, there is a God. Like I couldn't take Texas winning and OU getting hammered like that. So anyway, there is hope, even in your darkest hour. I promise you. We can weep and mourn. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So I have a hope, right? Some of you are like, where in the world did you come from? I was like, that's a great question. Where did the world come from? Where did the universe come from? Right? It takes. So this is what happened. There was a particle and a gas come together, and there was an explosion. And that's how everything. No, that's like, because don't you have to have something, right, for the world to come into being? There's got to be something, right? Because that's only logical. Because, right, it's kind of like sushi. Do you know where sushi come from? The first sushi restaurant come about because there was two Jewish guys who wanted to start a restaurant and they couldn't afford a cook. It's true. It's true. And you guys think it's a big thing, right? Hey, you have no idea, right? So where did God come from? We always got to know why, right? Where did you come from? Because if this is going on and that's going on, I need to know God. Like, I need to know how the universe was created, because I'm not sure you did a good enough job. I mean, I look in the mirror and I'm like, well, he did a pretty darn good job, right? But then I look out at some of the world and I'm like, man, where did all this stuff come from? But you see perfection and you see beauty and you can see the hand of a creator that was more than just an accident. And that's what I find when I get into the scriptures and I find who God really is. And so I know it says in the beginning, it tells us who created it. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't tell us how. Well, he kind of did. He said, let there be, right? So he told, the only problem is, he's like, I'm going to put it right here, and I'm going to tell you how I did it, and you're going to be like, well, I wonder how he did it. I got to figure out how he did it. And he's telling you how to do it. And when he does something, he said, we're made in his image. So that's how we create in our life too, right? We see the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. And so we see God at work in all of his creation. And then I was thinking about Adam too. Adam's in paradise minding his own business. No problems at all. And God says, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam should have said, I ain't alone. You're here with me. No, God created him a helper. And the problem is, because we get in so much trouble, God's like, you got to have someone to keep you out of trouble. And you can see how that worked out, right? Right? I remind my wife this all the time. You're supposed to keep me out of trouble, and you're getting me into trouble, right? I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on the ladies. So they're like, good thing they don't have anything to throw at me right now, right? But the point being is when they messed up, guess who Adam, he's a man of man, right? He's going to take responsibility for everything, right? So God said, what happened? He goes, the woman. It was all her fault. And you know what, guys? We still do that to this day. Am I right, women? Yeah, see, I redeemed myself there a little bit, right? But here Adam is blaming his wife, and the serpent was blaming God, And all it was accusation. So that's where you get the name Satan. It's accuser. It's accusations. And we find that all through the scriptures. You ever, what do they call them? Trolls. Like you're on the computer and you'll be watching a thread about a football team you like and some evil team with horns that should be down. Some member of those who throw bottles when their team's losing, right? We'll start throwing water bottles right on the field to get calls changed, right? So anyway, these evil members will get on the internet and they'll interrupt your conversation by telling you your team stinks. Right? Those are called trolls, right? I thought, that's horrible. You know what you got to do to troll? Ignore them. Because if you ignore them, you'll break their heart and they'll never say anything else. But I promise you, sometimes I think I have my own troll. And it lives inside me. Because I'm trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to just live. And then I got this troll saying, oh, that'll never work. Are you stupid? What's the matter with you? Like, am I the only one that ever happens to? Or do you got the Longhorn fans in your head too? Oh, I said their name out loud. Good. And I expose them. Everyone needs to know. Right? But you get these trolls in your head, and your head's screaming at you. God says this, right? That's why we had that scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon what? On your own understanding. Because we might understand, but we might not know all God's ways. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And so, but I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You don't have to understand how I created the universe. You just need to know that I did it. You don't have to understand how everything works. You just need to know that I made it work. And just in that same manner, we don't have to understand how to do everything or what to do. We just need to understand that we have a Father that loves us and He's for us and He's made a way. And if He can create this entire world at His word, what can He do for you? What word? How is words important? You know what they call when you put letters together? Spelling. Spelling. Where do you think that comes from? It was like, oh, don't go to don't watch that movie. They got witches in there casting what? Spells. Right. Think about it. Like it's all out there in the open. Like it's not like a conspiracy theory, right? Words are powerful. They have meaning and they matter. And especially when God says something, it's a done deal. And you don't have to understand what He's saying. You just got to trust Him. I remember when I go to start a cult, they're kind of funny because like they have no idea what you're doing. They have two responses. They either want to fight or they want to run. And honestly, when I get in the pen, I know there's one of those things I'd really like them to do if they're going to do one of them. And that's not fight, right? So I allow them, hey, you want to run? Run. And then I allow them to run. I allow them to move. And when they step where I want, I take the pressure off. And pretty soon they're like, wait a second. I don't have to fight him. And I don't have to run. But when I find this place to rest, I can rest. And do you know what? You can't beat a horse off that place of rest when they figure it out. And that's what Jesus is to us. That's what God is to us, right? I've seen other guys, like I'd be at a cult starting challenge or some of these young guys, they'd be like, I'm going to make this horse do this. And so they'll get the horse to stand and they'll get a saddle blanket on it and get the saddle on them. And then they'll crawl on. And I'm just like, they're like, oh, look how good I'm doing. I'm thinking, you ain't taking a step. That first step's a killer. was like, you ain't done nothing but sack that horse out to where he's afraid to move. And you didn't teach him how to move. And it's always like I have to pause, and I sat beside my pen and I watch when they get there, because I was like, this is going to be fun. And it always is. You know why? Horse blows up because he doesn't know how to move. He just knows if I do move, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not going to do it good enough. I ain't going to do it right. So he's afraid to move. He's locked up, kind of like our Oklahoma quarterbacks. And we get like that in Jesus. Not in Jesus, in religion. We get wrapped up in the do, 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 do. Don't you move. Don't mess up. Don't do this. We're so afraid to move. And like we just get so tired of it, we're like, you know what? The heck with this. I'm just going to do this anyway. Am I preaching about myself only here? Anybody else? It wears you out to a point where you don't even want to, you don't want to move. And then if they make you move, oh, buddy, you're going to pay. How dare you put that on me? Why would you, like, can you imagine what they're thinking? You're putting the skin of a dead cow on me. And you don't, you just want me to handle this? Like, what, are you going to eat me next? But the scripture says this, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our doing. Our what?
Being.
Are you sure? Because,
yeah.
Like, that's not how stuff's preached. A lot of times. I was listening in Oklahoma. They passed a new law. The secretary of the education, and he said, I am mandating every school in Oklahoma teaches the Bible. And my first thought was, thank you, Jesus. And then I heard two other preachers. I thought, what are they going to teach about the Bible? Are they going to teach religion? Or are they going to teach God's grace? And maybe you're going to get a bunch of it. What about the teachers that don't even believe in God? And they're making people do that. And so people now are starting to rise up, even believers. Say, wait a second. This isn't how we do something. You know why? Because you can't legislate righteousness. And for me, I thought, I got 8 grandkids that go to school. We'll be going to school down there. And I thought, I don't want someone who doesn't understand the scripture telling kids about the scripture. And I thought, that's not necessarily a good deal. Like, as a pastor, that's probably the last thing anyone would expect for you to say. But I was like, you know what? No more than I want someone teaching my kids about all this far left stuff either. How about you stick to the A's and B's, and how about us parents grow up and be the men and women of God that we're called to be? I mean, it's a good notion. Not mad at it. Just like, because how you represent Jesus and how you represent the Father means everything, especially when you're a little kid. It means everything right now, and I'm an old guy, right? As I was studying the scripture, and we were in John 3, and I talked about Nicodemus, and he was like, how can a man be born again, right? And do you got to be old? Like, he took it literally, right? Oh, man, so I'm going to have to go back and be a baby again? Like, I'm already old, and I know all this stuff? That would be a really pain in the neck, right? And so Jesus is like, no, I tell you the truth. I'm going to start in 5. And chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. What's he talking about here? He's like, you're trying to fix stuff in the way the world fixed stuff. You're going to get the same results that the world gets. But if you live from the Spirit and live as He lives through you, you're going to get what the Spirit gets. Now, that's pretty good. That's good news, right? Because what he's saying is, are you leaning on your understanding and on your way of doing things, or are you going to live in me and allow me to live in you? And let's do this together. Let's move our feet. You know what? I know you're going to mess up. Like, he done knew we're going to mess up. Right? Because it says before the foundations of the world, he prepared Jesus. So that's pretty good news for us, right? So he knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to struggle. He knows we got trolls. He's like, I don't want you to listen to the trolls. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want you to have a relationship with me. I don't want you to be embedded or entombed in religion. Because religion kills. But the Spirit gives life. I want to live. I want to know him. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to know him. And I get to heaven, and he's like, who are you? Well, I'm James. Like, I mean, I've been waiting all these years, 140 years. Thank you for all that time on earth, all right? I'm 140 years. I've been waiting to see you, and I'm so glad I see you. Now, and he's like, who are you? Like, why were you waiting to see me all these years when I was right there with you and in you the entire time you were on that planet? What a sad time or day that would be for me. And I wasted way too many years thinking that way. And that's why I hit it so hard, is because when the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. Religion will not set you free. This is the most life-giving book in the entire universe or universes. But if you just take the letter and you take it out of context, you can murder people with it. Not just physically, but spiritually. Right? He says not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The whole scripture, every story is about Jesus and about the Father's love and about what he wants to do in and through each and every one of you. That's the Spirit of the story, right? You can see the plain story. You can read the story right out, but there's another Spirit. There's a Spirit of the story. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I have to say, well, I said this. Well, I didn't mean it. That's not the Spirit I meant for it to say, right? This is how I want you to understand. And when you take the scripture in context and you see the Father in it and you see Jesus in it, it changes everything and it unravels. And now you have life, right? So he created the Garden of Eden. I love this. When God created the world, so this is the world, right? He put a tree in the garden, and it was a tree of good and evil, right? That's the only tree, right? The tree of good and evil, right? Tree of what? There's a tree of life?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of good and evil. There's another tree, and it was just life. Like, they were in paradise. Like, they didn't have to worry about nothing, man. And they said, you know what? We need to know between the knowledge of good and evil, because then we'll be like God. It's like, excuse me. He said, I made you in my own image. Yeah, I don't know what that means. They already were like God. But that wasn't good enough, man. Can you imagine? Oh, if I could be like Jesus. They were like Jesus. They were like God, and so are you. As he is, so are you in this world. Why? Because of the finished work of the cross. Now watch this. I was thinking, and so I'm all the time trying to go, well, I think I'm starting out at good. I'm probably not. I'm sorry. Well, if you ask my wife, it's here. It might be here, okay? So, and then I think I'm going to get, and then I go here. And I'm like, oh, well, I can do a little bit good, and then I mess up, and I'm here. And then I go like this, I'm almost there, and then I'm here. Then I'm like, oh, I got it there. Oh, but man, I really messed up. And then I'm here, and then I'm back down here, because I can't do, like, I've really messed up again. And now, oh, but look at this. I did good. I'm awesome. Look at me, right? And then I go back, oh, well, there it goes. Oh, almost there, and then back down to here. What's Paul saying? The good I want to do, I don't do, and the bad I don't want to do, I do do, right? I'm not saying what you think I'm saying, right?
We know.
Okay, good. Whew, I thought I was in trouble, right? Who can save me from this body of what? Death, flesh, right? Because what? The knowledge of good and evil, trying to keep up with that is a roller coaster. But God showed me something in between that. What's going on in between this? Ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. There are graphs, there are charts. Anybody ever go to the hospital and have them plug you into this heart thing? What does the heart thing do? Hopefully not this erratic. Right? They're just going like this. If your heart, if that thing looks like this, you're dead. In between the knowledge of good and evil is life. It's like I don't want you trying to be good, and I don't want you trying not to be bad, because if you focus on not being bad, you're going to drive towards, like, can I get in my car? And I'm looking down the road, and I'm like, I don't want to go straight, right? And I can look off this way. Guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to go straight to where I'm looking, even if I want to go straight. I want to live. And I'm not going to find the living in my doing. I'm going to find the living in my being, and out of my being I'm going to do. That makes sense? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you're not good at your sometimes you're good and sometimes you're bad, you're made in the image of God. That's what Jesus brought us back to, was sons and daughters of the Most High God. Either the cross mattered or it didn't matter, right? And so here I find it's like flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. How many of you guys believe in the wind? Anybody ever believe there's wind? I guarantee you they do in Florida and North Carolina. I do. We had a pretty good windstorm here. How many of you guys seen the wind? Has anybody ever seen the wind? You see the what? The effects of the wind. That's what the Spirit. The Spirit moves, and as that moves, it affects in this realm. Does that make sense? And so Jesus getting to the root of this thing, like he had to deal with legalistic people all the time. Jesus wasn't someone who didn't go to synagogue. He knew the scriptures inside and out. In fact, when he was a little kid, Mary and Joseph lost him. Can you imagine? Like, oh, well, we better pray and ask God where Jesus is. Now, they're the ones that God entrusted him to. How do you think that prayer went? Dear God, you know that kid you gave us to keep safe? We can't find him. Do you know where he is? Used to be a TV commercial when I was a kid. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? Who didn't know where their kids were at 10 o'clock when they're little bitty kids? Right? So here... how are you going to help us, Father, right? So he did, right? But the point being, I just thought that was ironic, right? He's teaching as a young man in the synagogue. I go, wow, how did he know all this stuff? Because he is all that stuff. It's a difference. He says, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus said, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And he's pretty powerful, pretty sharp dude. Jesus calls him Israel's teacher. Said to Jesus, and do you not understand these things? He's like, dude, you're the teacher. You're the smartest dude here. And you don't know these things? He's like, this is kindergarten stuff. This is preschool stuff. This is walking and talking stuff. And you do not understand. So I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? He's like, you don't even get it. Like, I'm telling you how good God is. I'm telling you what the scripture says and who it's pointing to, and you don't even get it. And I'm sitting right here in front of you. If you can't get this on earth, how are you going to get all the spiritual stuff? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Okay, so when they were in the desert coming out from slavery, they're getting bit by all these vipers. So God told Moses to put a pole up and with a bronze serpent. When they got bit, you know what they would do? They would go look upon the pole. The scripture says Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is every man that's hung on a tree, right? For our redemption, right? But then it says this, that everyone who does everything perfect can have a moment of peace until they mess up again. That's John 3:15. Then John 3:16, I wrote it out. For God was so mad at the world that he took it out on his Son. And if we believe in him, he will only take it out on us when we aren't perfect.
It's wrong.
That's what?
It's wrong. You wrote it down wrong.
I wrote it down wrong? No. Watch. For God was so mad at the world, he took it out on his Son, and if we believe in him, he will only take it out on us if we aren't perfect. That's where I messed up. Yeah, I know, that's right. What's wrong with this? What does it say? Someone want to read it to me? No. Read this. Yeah. Go ahead and read. It says what?
God so loved the world.
Oh, so this is wrong? He wasn't mad, he so loved? Okay. Man, I messed it up. Good. For God so loved the world that he took it out on his Son?
That he gave. He gave his one and only Son.
Man, I messed that up, didn't I? You get it. His only Son, right? His Son. Only BG.
Time
out. That would mean everyone.
Yes.
And that can't be right.
That's right.
No, that means everybody.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Say that one more time. What does it say?
Whosoever.
And whosoever what?
Believes in him.
Now that can't be right either, because you got to do something to be. You just, it's believing? And whosoever? Man, that just messes my whole sermon up. Thank you, Wayne. Pastor Wayne. Thank you for that. And whosoever believes in what? But have what? No, it should be should eternally be trying to be good and have eternal what?
Life.
Can you read that all at once for me?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.
But that's like. That's like better than Geico's news. That can't be right. Is that right? For God so loved the world. He loved the world. So let me ask you, if he is really mad at the world, really hated the world, would he have gave his only son? See, I heard it preached on my life. You just believe in God, then he won't be mad at you no more. I was like, I'm pretty sure that ain't how it works. Because that ain't ever happening. Because I ain't perfect. The more I try, the harder it got. Until I just like, you know what? I want nothing to do with him. The dude's schizophrenic. He says he loves me. But everyone else says that he's a mean, hard, awful daddy. If he was a human, he'd never get to see his kids ever again. They'd lock him up. But that's not my daddy. That's not my God. Watch this. 15. That everyone who believes, again, there's that what? Everyone who believes in him may have what? How long is eternal? You're like, that's about as long as your message, Pastor. Right? Eternity. For God so loved the world. See, I found it. Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave. This is my BS. Translation. Yeah. Cowboy terms. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn everyone. My glasses aren't. I'm reading that wrong again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to make sure everybody was perfect.
No.
But to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's pretty good news.
Amen.
If this is true, this is world changing. This is amazing. How many of us want to believe this? I think I might start right now. It almost got me won over. That's how good our Father is. And we can trust him. And it's lunchtime. I'm going over. Sorry. Father, forgive me of sinning by going over. But Father, thank you for all you're doing and all your blessings and your peace and your love and your hope. Just allow us to grasp this, that we are loved and that we are accepted and that you are such an awesome dad. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.